Their first down for the Bucs out of the gun. Freeman fires. It is caught. Touchdown, Vincent Jackson.
Hey, yo, what's good, old school? What up with the Buck Podcast? It's your boy, E2, and you know we had to do it again, right? Let's go!
WhatTheBuck.net. 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 What the buck?
Podcast? I know you need this. The whole league mad cause we just got Revis. All the quarterbacks need to go find Jesus. I bet they won't throw Hail Marys no more. Get so it. Where you gonna go to get your information? Studio 76, What the Buck Nation. If all of y'all feeling what the hell I'm saying, type in the chat, yo, we ain't playing. Shiano got a plan, Freeman got a plan, Jackson got a plan, Doug Martin is the man. The defense is back and the rookies are grown. Let me welcome everybody to the no fly zone.
Old school, always keeping it live. Got an email, Spence, tell them where to ride. Old school, always keeping it live. Got an email, Spence, tell them where to ride.
What the buck dot net. What the buck dot net. What the buck dot net. What the buck?
Hey, yo, old school, man. I'm done, man. I'm wrapping it up. Go ahead and start the podcast, my dude.
All right, E2, thank you very much, E2. Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. It's good to have you here tonight. We'll let E2 go ahead and get on out of here, and then we'll switch over with my incredibly bad fade that I complain about every week because we haven't done anything to fix it yet because we've been too busy doing everything else. Welcome to the broadcast. You guys know who I am. I am Derek Oldschool Fournier from WhatTheBuck.net, broadcasting from my poker room, otherwise known as Studio 76 here in bustling downtown Valrico, Florida. Hopefully you guys are dry or are staying on a large wooden vessel with the Jewish man because it's been raining like a sumbitch. It is absolutely crazy. I see we've already got the I doubt we'll ever see Knicks again stuff from Virginia Bucks fan. I'm not quite sure why that's the case. Mirsa is what Mirsa is. His toe injury was an issue. He's got an infection. I don't understand when Mirsa became a death sentence. No, Mirsa's not to be trifled with. But Kellen Winslow had Mirsa. He came back and played. Lots of people come back from Mirsa. In fact, most of us have MRSA in our systems as a matter of course. It's the infection that kicks things off. So I really don't understand why everyone is predicting the end of Knicks. And maybe I'm being naive. I don't know. And I didn't mean to jump right into it, but I've already got three comments, I think, in the chat room about it. So it doesn't make much sense to me why this is getting so much fucking play. I mean, literally, before it was Mirsa and it was just a damn blister, people were already going, oh, yeah, he's done. I don't get it. Maybe you guys can explain to me in the chat room, guys. But welcome to the chat room. We'll talk about that amongst other things. But I think that the stories of his demise are greatly over-exaggerated and certainly premature. Going to give you a little warning about tonight. I am exhausted. It has been a long run, and I want to start out with a whole bunch of thank yous to a whole bunch of people who've done an amazing set of things recently, and they're probably just as exhausted and tired as I am. Now, what happens when I'm exhausted and tired is I become even more of an asshole than I normally am, which is really, really hard to conceive for some folks. But so when we talk about the Bucks, I may be a little bit more angry than normal. And Rock, it's not even rumors, man. Well, I guess it is. It's rumors in the very definition of rumors. It's somebody somewhere saying, I think he's done. Right? That's all it is at this point. He's getting treatment for an infection. That's where we're at. I don't understand why it has become more than that. So, anyway. I want to send some thank yous out to the people we always thank: Buck Stats, Buck Nation, Bucks Chat, The Pewter Plank. A special set of thank yous out to our sponsors, The Party, and we'll talk about The Party a little bit here. I know that not all of you could attend The Party because you don't live here. You guys listen to the podcast who don't live here. Obviously, that's going to piss you off a little bit, but what we did on the 17th was pretty amazing. And by we, I really mean the fan base here in Tampa and whoever traveled from outside of the Tampa Bay area to put on this party. It was so much bigger and better than I think any of us had imagined. So I've got to spend some time talking about that because I don't think we'll get away with not doing it again next year, to be honest. I think it's going to be one of the things we have to do again. And I think as a fan, and really when What the Buck started, and I know we talk about it all the time, it's been going on for 8 years now, it really was started as an outgrowth of fan passion. Right? That's where we're rooted in. We're not rooted in finances. We're not rooted in literature or journalism. we're rooted in we all really give a shit because this is our team, and we use personal pronouns, and to hell with all the journalists who say that makes us full of shit, because they're wrong. They're being pussies. They don't think they can be objective without taking out the personal pronoun thing. And they don't want you to know that they're actually Phillies fans or Alabama fans or whatever the fuck else fans, right? So we actually do care about this team, right? Not just because we get paid to write about it. Now, all of that being said, our sponsors this year who've come on to help us get to the point where we can take the proceeds from all of our tailgates and donate them to the charities that we try and support have been amazing. And Wing House on the top, Buccaneer Beads and Anywhere Transport, John Amato has been just astonishing as always. Black Ops Seasoning, my man Jim over there. Whiskey Willie's, Wally at Whiskey Willie's has been awesome. And then Steakhouse Elite as well have all been just just beyond compare. When you look at the raffle items that were coming in, literally the day of the event, raffle items, baskets of stuff worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars for these guys that were just astonishing. And for those of you who have not seen the thousands of pictures either on 813 Area or on our site from Puff Puff Party, there's going to be apparently an interview that was aired from Channel 8 that's going to go on before the game this Sunday. Hopefully it comes out good. But I don't know how many people we had there. We haven't been able to get a good estimate yet. We had hoped to get 250 people there, guys. That was our goal, right? That was our goal. At one point, we had a huge line waiting for tables. The place was filled, and the entire front parking lot was filled, and that's when Mark Dominic showed up and spent probably an hour and a half meeting people and taking pictures. It was beyond compare what this thing was, and it was this kind of a party because of the people that you guys know some of, guys like Captain Reno, Spent, Captain Bones, Bucknuts, Kurt Creel, his wife Jennifer, Jersey, Eliza, Jackie. I don't want to diminish anyone by not mentioning them by name because the team was so large. I'm a type A, guys. You know that. You've known me for almost a decade now. We only registered about 80 names at the desk. To give you an idea, when you came up, if you give us your email address, you would go in there. Taking those, I don't understand. We were taking emails. You could get an autographed Deshaun Goldson and Gerald McCoy hat from the VIP draft day party, which is awesome. Oh, yeah, Jen Algier. Yeah, absolutely, Matt's wife. Thank you very much. Like I said, I don't mean to leave anyone because everyone was freaking spectacular. Anyway, there are some things we're going to do a little bit better next year, too. Not to diminish what we did this year because what we pulled off was amazing, but we want to make it even better next year. And so that's what we're going to be working on throughout the year. We're going to get together and talk about it. But talking about it too soon made us feel as though we were being assholes, which, though comfortable for me because I kind of live in that world, I don't want anyone to think anything but about it being a freaking success. I understand that, Roman. That's what I'm talking about. That's part of the improvement part. We're not going to do it here on the show. We're not going to have like a big brainstorming session because no one really gives a shit except for us, I think. But at any rate, we will definitely make some minor changes and tweaks. It'll make that party even more spectacular. But the reality is we threw an amazing party for Bucks fans. They stayed at a Wing House from about 5 o'clock till 1, which is just amazing. And we absolutely had a blast. And Kurt did a great job on the DJ booth, even with the shitty PA gear that the Wing House has that they're going to have to improve on. Kept everyone dancing and having a great time. If you came out, hopefully you had a good time. Hopefully you told your friends about it. And hopefully you got a sense for what the tailgates are like, because really that's what the feel is, right? That's what the feel is at our tailgates. And guys, our tailgates are just going to be ridiculous. We are working on some things to improve our tailgates even. It is a miracle any of us sleep, and any of us who are still married are still married, because it realistically, this thing can be all-encompassing. Anyway, we're going to have a great time. It already was the talk of the town, Ro, but I totally agree. A couple of other announcements. The What a Fan Awards coming up over Labor Day weekend. A lot of the folks that are in this chat room right now that you guys know have been nominated for awards by Lowell and the crew at What a Fan. That's at the Rosen Center this weekend. There's discounts on the hotel rooms. It's a really nice hotel, the Rosen Center. You can get it for $80, and they're having activities Friday, Saturday, and Sunday pretty much all day. The team there is doing a tremendous job to try and create an atmosphere for super fans, and for everyone's a super fan to them. They want to support the fans that support the leagues. So whether it's learning how to tailgate better or be better equipped in your home for sports, or learn more about how to create charitable organizations, these sorts of things. And then also the entertainment aspect that the guys at What a Fan hopefully are going to be releasing this week. It's going to be like an ESPYs event for fans. So it should be a lot of fun. And hopefully some of our very own people will win some awards. The trophy you saw us with in some of the pictures is a replica of the trophy that they're going to be giving away. I think there are going to be 10 different categories. I don't know what the categories are. But make sure you check that out at whatafan.com, and you can get out there and see it. That would be tremendous. And Reno's not something. Okay. Another note, spokesmodel / spokesfighter Cheyenne Velasquez. You've heard us talk about it. You've seen her picture. You guys have heard about the trunks. I actually got a picture of the trunks she's going to be wearing this Saturday night. I am not going to be watching the game live in front of a TV. I'm going to be watching it on my laptop at the Tampa Bay Hilton because we are a sponsor of this young lady who is fighting. And she is going to be fighting wearing our logo, which to me is pretty cool. Where the hell did I put it? Cheyenne trunks. Here we go. Those are two different versions of her trunks. It's the WCFL 6 Undisputed going on Saturday night at the Tampa Bay Hilton. There are still tickets available at the door. But you guys heard us talk. You guys know one of the running jokes here on the show is that I love tight ends. And so across Cheyenne's particular tight end, we will have our logo emblazoned as she hopefully goes on and trounces the young lady she's fighting this particular night. So if you don't have anything to do and you want to come out there and watch the fight while you're DVRing the Bucks game against the Dolphins, we'll talk about that as well. I will see you out there because we will be out at our table and we'll see you guys out there. So we're pulling for Cheyenne. She's been doing a great job working hard. Her and her crew came out to the event. We did a contract signing and all that sort of stuff. It was a great time, and we're looking forward to seeing it. Two other updates, and then we'll get right into talking Bucks talks, which will have us right at our 9:15 mark and somehow manage to be on time. The shop is updated on the website. We do have t-shirts in different styles. The V-necks, for some reason, the tank top's not showing up. I've got the web guy working on that, but we also have the pink dry fits. Thanks to everyone who's already bought a t-shirt. Thanks to everyone who bought raffle tickets and supported this event. The proceeds from this event are going to go to support the tailgate cost, in addition to the proceeds that you'll see from the sponsors. And we'll have that pro forma budget put together. So you guys know, all of this money is going to go to stop guys like Chef Red from having to come out of pocket $300 or $400 every tailgate. This is one of those things where we are trying to make it so that people don't have to come out of pocket for all this stuff. Now, we're still going to end up doing stuff individually. So this tailgate is a family tailgate, so you're going to end up seeing people bring stuff just like always. But we want to try and take that big lion's share out so that we didn't have to take the donations in the treasure chest and pay the stuff, that we can take that stuff and go to the charities. So that's the goal, and that's what this did, along with some other things that we're working on that we can't release yet until we have some more details, hopefully next week. The last reminder is we do have the event up. Cheryl put up the event, or Spent did, for the New York Jets watch party. Which will be our first watch party of the year. It will be at Wing House Tampa, our boys over there, or Aaron, our boy over there, and then our girls over there, who were tremendous. You guys saw those pictures. They do a great job, and they take care of us, and that's where we're going to be watching games when we watch away. Now, it may not be overly detailed, but we'll see. Knowing us, the first one will be. It may taper off a little bit as we get on throughout the season. So that is the news that is fit to be talked about. Yeah, that's the big thing. We'll get into some Bucks talk. Let you guys know if you have specific things you want to talk about. We can talk about MRSA if you want to. I am not a doctor. I do not play one on television. I do know that when my mother was in the hospital last time, she got MRSA. I had to wear a throwaway gown and gloves and hairnet, essentially. But I did not somehow manage to contract MRSA. And though she did pass away, it was not from MRSA. She was 1,000 years old, and it was her time. And since Nix is a professional athlete and has a great crew and they caught this early, I think he may be okay. Maybe I'm just an optimist. Who knows? At any rate, we can talk about that. We can talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. But the thing that I do want to talk about is what we learned against the Patriots. And we watched the Patriots game the night before at the Wing House, of course, as we continue to whore out to our sponsors because they keep doing great things for us. Yes, I know that Glennon looked better towards the end of the game and his stats ended up looking good, but I think as a team, we look like bullshit. We look absolutely horrible, and it's pissing me off. My only hope is that Coach Shiano, and I can totally buy that this would be true. That he's just using this as extended practices. So there's no game planning at all, and that we're just looking at scenarios. When he talked about the three sacks that Freeman gave up against the Patriots, he talked about those being personnel groupings you would not see in the regular season. And I pray, in as much as someone who's not religious can pray, that that is true. Because we look just absolutely horrible. And I'd love to go say there's an area that looks good, but I don't know what it is. I haven't seen it yet. Now, week three, when we start with our ones, we should see whether this team is real or not. We should see some minute game planning. And I'm hoping that that will be the case. If it's not, then we have some trouble, guys. We have some trouble. K-Moto said it. He sees another slow start. Now, the tough thing about slow starts, man, is it's physics, right? A body in motion tends to stay in motion. Inertia is the problem. You need to get successes. I'm not saying you need to go undefeated in preseason, because you don't. We know that. You need to show some wins. You need to stack some wins. And I don't mean wins as in victories in the scoreboard. I could give two shits about that, right? But you've got to show some progress. You know, your running game looks good. Your offensive line is blowing people off the ball. You're getting sacks. You're getting turnovers. You're getting three outs. Whatever it is, you've got to see those sorts of things start to come around. And we're not seeing those. Dimke looks like a beast, though. You're absolutely right, guys, whoever's on the Dimke chain. I'm not going to say James has been beastly. But he sure as hell looked good this week compared to everything else. He put up good numbers. There's no argument about that. I know he's from the U, Roman, and there's fewer and fewer of those guys in the U making any impact, so it's important you keep track of them. But what we need to see is those victories stack. And, Rock, I hope you're right. I mean, you know me. I'm a Shiano guy. I like him. I like what he does. I love what he does at practice. And it is not out of the realm of possibility that he's saying, listen, I don't care at all about this. I want to see these scenarios. Right? And, Will, you're right. There's tons of examples of this where 4-0 teams in preseason did crap in the regular season and 0-4 teams went to the Super Bowl. I totally agree, and I know they exist. That's why I'm saying it's not about the wins and losses on the chart. It's about little wins. Right, showing progress, showing advancement, and that's what I'm not seeing. Right, that's the thing that has me concerned. I'm also not seeing any urgency. I'm not seeing any progression, and that's bothersome. When we talked about the New England game, what I wanted to see, now what I want to see is largely immaterial, in some ways, but I thought that the ones needed to put up some points. Now I've got you guys know that during the year I usually do deep dives. I don't do deep dives traditionally. For preseason, because to be honest, it just doesn't deserve it, in my opinion. But there are a couple things I wanted to go over tonight, so I printed out some stuff. We'll go through that. No worries about being late, brother. You're all good. And I think a couple of other folks may have even pointed some of these things out. If they didn't, they should have. So we can all agree that Tom Brady is probably one of the best quarterbacks in the league, right? Why is it Tom Brady can stay in long enough to throw 12 passes, and Josh Freeman can only stay in long enough to throw 3? Now, you guys also know that I'm a Josh Freeman guy, right? I think he's the right answer. But what the fuck is it? He can't be that good that you don't need to see him. I'm just saying, I need to see Josh Freeman go out and play for a half, maybe even three quarters. Now, I know that this is double-edged sword. I was talking to Sven about this week. You cannot win this argument, right? You cannot win this argument. Because if you don't play a guy and he looks like crap, you get shit for it. If you play a guy and he gets injured, you get shit for it, right? So what we're left with is a situation where you've not played a guy. We don't know if he's going to look like shit for real. But we're watching another guy who's a vet. And he's out there playing. And if you want to say it's because our offensive line is busted, they don't want to put him behind an offensive line that's busted. Well, guess what? That's what he did all last season, guys. We may actually have to play with that offensive line. Davin Joseph is probably not playing this week either. And according to most of the folks in the chat room, Carl Nix might as well hang up his cleats. Tom, I agree. I want to see want to, and that's what I'm not seeing. I'm not seeing that passion. I'm not seeing that fire. Sean, you say it well too. Battles. Individual battles. The just on the line. Right, I'm just not seeing that fire, and it's pissing me off. Right, I'm not seeing guys finish. So the Fran Tarkenton comments are brought up where Fran Tarkenton said that Josh was essentially god awful. You know, I went back and read them, and then I saw someone did an analysis. I think it may have been Sander from Bucks Nation about Fran Tarkenton's first 5 years where he was garbage. And he's like, if you got to wait till the third year, then he's too late. And they're like, yeah, well, you would have sucked. Everyone's got an opinion. Look at what I'm doing. I have an opinion, and I don't mean shit to this whole grand scheme of things. I'm not employed by a local newspaper or television channel. I do this because I want to. I have a good time, and you guys seem to like it as well. But everyone's got an opinion. Now, when you used to be good at something, your opinion was it gets additional value put on it, right? So Fran Tarkenton comes out as a former, as a former great. And he says something, and people go, well, he must know something. Well, guess what? There's a lot of former players that are dumb as a fucking stump, right? And a whole lot of former players, especially from his time period, who are angry and dumb as a stump because they're broke and broke down. And they see these young guys going to sign $100 million contracts, and I'm sure they're pretty pissed about it. So, at any rate, so I didn't take it very seriously. I thought Josh took the high road. He's being well coached, or else he's just doing what he normally does. Josh normally does a good job of handling stuff like that in the media and letting it slide off of him. But the reality of the situation is Josh has to take this team by the throat and lead it. I don't think I see anything in Glennon that tells me he's ready to do that. That's not to say that he's not going to be. And this starts off the conversation that we've started a couple of times, right? This decision is not going to be about whether Josh Freeman can be an elite quarterback. Because if Josh Freeman doesn't stay with Tampa, he will go somewhere else and he will start. Make no mistake about it. There are teams who would absolutely love to have Josh. This decision will be about $18 million. Because that's about what his franchise tag will be. So if he does well, whatever does well is, whether that's have a great record and just miss the playoffs, have a great record, make the playoffs and get swept out, whatever, the team has to evaluate, is it worth $18 to $20 million for 1 year to have him here and then let him test the market? Or should we sign up for 3 to 5 years? It'll be a 5-year contract with an out in three probably. We're paying him $16 million a year with a big signing bonus. Is he that much better than what we have in the cupboard in Glennon? Or can we use a game manager, young guy? And this is where this game of football that we love becomes not about a person, and in some ways becomes not about what an individual person can do because the differential isn't significant enough. Right? If Doug Martin blows this up, this year, and we could win with any quarterback, I don't think Josh is here anymore. Now, as a fan, would that bother me? Well, sort of, because I like Josh. I like him as a person, and I like him as a player. But if my team's winning, that's what I need, right? I support the name on the front of the jersey. I happen to become friendly with some of the names on the back of the jersey, so I hate it when they go. But the reality is that this is a business as well. They need money to sign other people, too. But that's what it's going to come down to. I'm going to check the chat room over here, which is why Barber's been contemplating retirement for the last couple of years. The team has lost determination. That sounds like bullshit. I'm not sure where that's coming from, Ro, unless you're just trying to stir the pot, which is fine. I haven't seen anything in practice that lets me see they've lost determination. But certainly on the field in the first two preseason games, I haven't seen that level of passion. But there's my little spiel on Josh Freeman for what that's worth. Let me check the mailbag real quick. Then I'm going to do a walk through the chat room, welcome you guys to the chat. Let you know if you want to get in questions, you can do that by sending it into questions at whatthebuck.net. And I will make sure I do that. I just got reminded to give you more information about the WCFL. I told you about it, but I'll tell you some more about it in case you guys are in Tampa and have not gotten there. It is WCFL 6 Undisputed. I think it's WCFL.com. I can't go to that site in the middle of doing the show, so if someone wants to do that who's not hosting the show currently and send me the link, I will gladly send it out there. Ticket prices range, I believe, from $35 to $55 for general admission and VIP. I think they're actually $5 more if you buy them at the door, but you can buy them online. You can't buy them from the fighters anymore. That closed out yesterday. So... That's the scoop on that. Doors open, I believe, at 5:30. There are a ton of fights, including Cheyenne's, obviously the one that we're pulling for, and then the rest of the team Battlefield, I guess, is her camp that we'll be pulling out as well. But that's the scoop on the WCFL. And again, if someone who's not currently hosting wants to drop the URL in the chat room, that'll let you guys go over there and check out the card, and also see if you want to buy tickets as well. Rock says Freeman is this year to prove himself, or Glenn is taking over. Yes, Rock, that is true. This is his contract year. By definition, that is true. I don't know how much he has to prove, and that's really where the discussion comes into it, right? What does prove himself mean? What does he have to do to prove himself? If you were the GM, what does he have to do for you to stroke him a check? Right? And what does that check look like? Because the market's getting set. As far as Rock, your comment about Hillis is a mini All-Star, I get why people say that, but it's no different than calling, you know, a white safety John Lynch. I think they're bad comparisons. There's some similarities, but the only similarity that matters to me is that neither one of them can fucking block, which means that they're tailbacks, not fullbacks. Thank you, Kurt, for doing that. I appreciate that. Has to play hard and get in the playoffs, says K-Moto. That's what we're going to judge Josh by. So let's say he plays hard, team gets in the playoffs, but his stats aren't great. Let's say that they're, you know, 2,500 yards, roughly equal interceptions and touchdowns. But late game drives, things like that. I mean, this decision is not easy, guys. I guess this is the point that I'm trying to make about the Josh Freeman discussion is, and local radio is doing what local radio does, which is polarizing, right? They're saying that Josh is out, Glennon's in, that's why he's playing. And you know what? We may wake up in the first game of the season, and that may be the truth. I just don't know, right? There is the constant belief and understanding that a lot of times coaches want, quote-unquote, their guy. And Josh isn't Shiano's guy, you know? But the reality of the situation is that this is a complex decision, and it is not a decision, in my opinion, about Josh's individual talent necessarily, right? And that's where it becomes a problem. Where is it about the wins and losses alone? Because if it's wins and losses alone, but they're ugly wins, does that matter? Well, it sure as hell should if you're going to pay someone $18 million a year, you know? Because that's going to impact who else you can sign. So it is a very complicated discussion, in my opinion. So, win the division, Sean. I mean, that would certainly be a start. I mean, you look at what you can do, and we used to, you know, Gruden used to break it down quarter by quarter. If you win your division, you guarantee yourself playoffs, which is great. But again, Sean, the same thing, more completions than INTs. Really? I tried to warn you guys I was going to be an asshole tonight to try and limit that. I really did, you know? Less INTs than what? What was he, 25 and 16 last year? What were the numbers on Freeman last year? Anyone? Kurt usually have this stuff up. Because what I'm going to hear is you guys are going to bitch about the two games back-to-back with four interceptions, both of which, two of, were on the receivers. So there are two games back-to-back with two interceptions. We've already been through this, guys. Listen, don't let these local fucking morons on the radio teach you this bullshit. Watch the games. Look past the stat sheet. Now, I'm a Buccaneer fan. If Josh Freeman goes to the Raiders, like someone prognosticated, because he wants to go out there and follow, Olsen, right? If he wants to go out there and follow Olsen, which I don't think in a million years he wants to do, right? Great. I'll still hopefully stay in touch with Josh, and I'll wish him well, and I'll cheer on Mike Glennon and whoever becomes the quarterback. Fucking Weber, God help us all, right? But just don't fall into the trap of buying the bullshit, please. I beg you guys. Do you think Freeman signed an extension for 10 to 15 years a year? Not for 10. No, the market wouldn't let him do it. So what's interesting is Mike Williams' extension was bullshit. They robbed Mike Williams, right? They absolutely robbed Mike Williams. But he took it. 27-16. All right, so it's better than I thought. On the touchdowns and interceptions. The 15, I think you're getting close. If you're going to give him a long-term deal and big money. Now, I am not an agent, but when I look at the other contracts that are coming across, unless you go win a Super Bowl and you're big swinging dick in the playoffs, you have more leverage, guys. That's why Joe Flacco had the leverage. Joe Flacco played good football all year long. The playoffs came. He hit his stride. He went out there and just won games with his arm. Right? He may well put his manhood on the table and been measure it, bitches, and then sign my contract. That's what that man did. And he started at the beginning of the year by saying, I'm not going to get any cheaper. It was the biggest balls move I've ever seen. Right? He got a lot of money. Matt Ryan got a lot of money. And you say, well, Matt Ryan's a better quarterback. Well, if Josh goes and wins the Super Bowl like Flacco did, guess what? He's going to go, I got a ring. Marino didn't win a ring. You want someone who throws for 4,800 yards and 30 touchdowns and doesn't get a Super Bowl? It's not a simple decision. That's really, I hate to beat this dead horse, and I know that the horse is in the corner right now bleeding, and Pete is going to call because I'm beating it so bad. Watch that soundbite, Kurt. Please do not record that one. That's horrible. Free would have already had a new contract if the D didn't cost him so many games last year. Dave, I agree. He had a season last year that should have gotten him a contract, but we didn't get the wins, and that happens. Captain Bowen says, are you against the mobile Freeman? No, I'm not, but I think that, who was it who said it afterwards? Where was it? Scott, only when does it need to be. I think that what I don't like is the apprehension or the tentative nature that Freeman seems to show when he gets out of the pocket. Freeman used to show, and some of you are going to call bullshit, but it's true. I think it was in 2010. He showed really good pocket presence. He had a sense. Not as good as Romo. Romo does this really well, and I know people don't like it when I give credit to other teams. But Romo's ability to escape pressure is tremendous. Free had a little bit of that as a young player. He got really good at it, and then he got sloppy with the ball and had some fumbles. And he really never improved. Dave, come on. Joe Flacco is not Trent Dilfer version 2. You know that's not true. Joe Flacco is a hell of a quarterback. Joe Flacco should have 2 rings. If his receiver knew how to fucking catch, he'd have 2 rings. So. But yeah, so I'm not against... Thanks, Kurt, for the detail. 4,000 yards, 27 and 17. It's going to be a topic of conversation because if we start out of the gate in the first quarter and we're 2-2 and Freeman has a stinker, then this subject won't be dead. And the local radio will not let this subject die, guys. So we're going to have to talk about it. And all I am imploring you guys, as the folks who are part of What the Buck family, is to look past the surface. Big shout out to Spent, Captain Bones, Kurt, Rock, Will Hoyler, Palmer Lou is in the house, Sean, Tom, Skip, Dana Paul, Neil, Captain Reno, Buck for Life, New Jersey Bucks fan, Scott, Daniel, Scott, Buckshot, Chef Red, Dave Hudson, Kim, K-Moto, and 2 guests, Guest 666, I'm not religious, so it doesn't bother me, but you may want to change your name, and Guest 657. It's good to have you guys here. Again, if you want to interact with the show, you can get here in the chat, and I'll do my best to keep up with it. It's kind of tough when you guys start talking a lot, but I certainly will do my best to do that. The other thing you can do is you can send mail to questions@whatthebuck.net, and that will guarantee that I can get to your question. We've just spent a tremendous amount of time talking about Josh Freeman. We talked a little bit about the MRSA situation. I didn't even really reset the story. Essentially what happened was there was an outbreak, for lack of a better word, of MRSA at One Buck Place. It was nuked, again, for lack of a better word, whilst they were in New England. It's going to be cleaned again while they go out to Miami. They're having a special company come in that does that to try and, you know, essentially eradicate the situation in the building. The only 2 players, and actually I don't know if this has actually been confirmed yet, that have been diagnosed. I had heard that both Tynes and Nix, but then I read another article that it was just Nix, it wasn't Tynes. But whatever it is, this is a non-zero impact to the team, and it's going to affect at least 1, possibly 2 players. Now, Sander P., my man from Bucks Nation, was incredulous that they didn't come out with this news earlier, and I didn't know why. I don't think Sander's with us tonight, but... I don't know that they could have handled this any better. They found out about it. They took care of it. They notified the players first, and then they went to the press about it. But at any rate, yeah, they're doing it again. Yeah, Will, that's what I saw, right? They're going to go back, and I think they're going to do a check first, and then but they're going to clean it again anyway. It's like, I don't know, nasty. All right. On defense, there were some things that I wanted to see as well this week. And, of course, I didn't see those either. I wanted to see penetrate, disrupt, and swarm. I wanted sacks and pressures, and I want 3 and outs. I wonder how many three and outs we got. I've got that here somewhere. I printed it on both sides of the paper because I was trying to be all green. The problem is, the way I printed it didn't have page numbers. It's made it very complicated. All right, here you go. Patriots. Let's see how many three and outs they had. Well, second half was better. Second half was much better. So we had 1 3 and out in the first half. And then we had back-to-back three and outs in the second half. And then a two-play drive with an interception on it. Versus, no pink cup tonight. The pink cup's in the, that's funny. See, buck you up, thank you. You bring a smile to my face, buck you up. I appreciate that. The pink cup is in the dishwasher. Though there's a slight pink hue to this one because I've had it so long. You can't probably see it in the camera. But I've washed it so many times. It's got about a little bit of a pink hue. Our offense, 3-and-out punt, 5-and-out punt, 3-and-out punt. We had an outstanding negative 9-yard drive there. Then we got a touchdown drive, nice touchdown drive, 75-yarder, with a penalty, which was, you know, that's a good drive to overcome a penalty. Then we had another 3-and-out and another 3-and-out. Then we have a 9-play, 33-play drive, a 3-play interception drive, another 3-and-out. Then we have a touchdown drive, a field goal, and we're done. Moral to the story, folks. Moral to the story is we look like dog shit, and I don't see any urgency, and I need to see some in Miami. Now, one thing I think you guys may find interesting, you may not, who knows? You may find it interesting. Leonard Johnson leading the team in combined tackles. Anyone know who led the team in snaps taken? 66 plays, 318 yards. I'm assuming that's the Bucks on the left and Patriots on the right. Is that correct? Kurt, I think that's what I saw earlier was the 318 to 382. I think that's what I saw. I can't find it because of the stupid page numbers. We had 158 yards on the ground and 181. Yeah. 158 to 139. And the passing game was 243 to 181. Ogletree shows up with 6 targets and 3 receptions. It just doesn't look good. It looks sloppy. But it is preseason. I guess that's what we should expect. What I've been surprised by, and I shouldn't have been surprised by it, I don't think. Again, I want to throw it out there. Anyone know what defensive player took the most snaps? And this does matter. It's not just an arbitrary stat and stats are for losers kind of thing. There's a reason. There's a method to my, we'll call it madness, because I'm so angry. And I know there's a delay. Someone, I think it was Animal, actually said that there's more of a delay if you watch the Listen Live embed on whatthebuck.net. Leonard, David, no one's right yet. Apparently, if you watch it directly in Ustream, there's less of a delay. I haven't tested that, but Animal said that was true. So if you got a long delay, that could be it. Came in a bit late. Buck you up. I'll get your question in a second. Bowers, no. Bowers, no. That's good questions, though. They're good ideas. Lots of people think Bowers, and I know why, because they were playing Bowers about 16 different positions to see if he could get any impact. Though Bowers graded out well, according to Pro Football Focus, but I know my man Calico Jack doesn't like that, but he actually graded out pretty well. I don't remember making much of an impact. But no, the answer is actually Ahmad Black. Tlaib, funny. Ahmad Black, 39 plays. We are playing a lot of extra safeties on the field, right? The thing that shocked me even more was Stephen Means, the right end, played 35 plays. Now, Stephen Means was the guy who was taking starting left defensive end reps for Bowers at training camp the last 2 days that Drew and I were there. It will be very interesting to see who the hell is playing come week one. Now, the other thing I want to tell you is you may think that Ahmad Black and Cody Grimm were the number one and three players in snaps because Goldson didn't play enough snaps. Goldson had 33 snaps. Now, Mark Barron didn't make it in there very much comparatively. He had 23 snaps. But All right, still a long delay on your Ustream. Okay, Chef Red, you seem to be having problems anyway. 55. Hey, they're trying to figure out if Keith Tandy should be on this team. Don't kid yourself, Reno. They're trying to find out why. And I feel bad in some ways because wasn't he the one on coverage on the tight end touchdown, the post pattern, where he got his hand in there and the guy made the juggling catch in the end zone? I'm pretty sure that was Tandy that was on that play. That was a heartbreaker because he did most everything right. I'd like him to find the ball. But he looked at the receiver, saw him make his eyes, and he got it. And as far as deep and safeties, I don't know that we're overly deep. We're deeper there than a lot of places, though, because I think that you've got Ahmad Black and Cody Grimm behind those starting two, and that's pretty good. It is that Polk County internet. Nice reference, Buck for Life. I love it. Let me get back up to Buck UF's question. I can scroll back up and grab that. Came in a bit late. Here's a question. Are they going to let Freeman roll out? He's not a pocket QB. This is obvious for the last few seasons. Let the boy run and stand back there and stare down receiver just asking. So, let me try and answer your question as best I can. This offense does not seem to be predicated on designed rollouts or waggles where you move the quarterback pocket. I also know that this team wants Freeman to be a more pocket-based passer, and I think Freeman wants to be. And it's funny, I was watching a little bit of the Carolina game before this, and they're talking about Cam Newton trying to do the same thing. There's a reason why quarterbacks, after a couple years, decide they want to do that, right? Anyone? Anyone? Longevity. Being a mobile quarterback is a route to an early retirement, right? I understand it's all in vogue because of Russell Wilson and Kaepernick and RG3. I get it. Everyone's got a hard-on for mobile quarterbacks. Guess what, guys? You got one that's got no knee left. Kaepernick is one good hit away from stopping that fucking bicep kiss shit he does. Right? Now, K-Moto, you and I, see, we're together. Now, do I think they have to motion him out of the pocket by design to play to his strength? I don't think his strength is necessarily throwing on the run. I think his strength is not being restricted. How can I describe this? When you first start to learn to play a game of any sort, and we talk about this a lot with football. I talked about it when I coached basketball, too. You start out – I'll check in a second, Rook. I'll be right there, brother. Where you think first and then you react, right? And then you start to just play. When Josh just plays, Josh shows some amazing talent. When Josh has to think too much, and that's not to say that Josh isn't a bright guy. Right, but you don't want him back there trying to do what Tom Brady does. He's not the same quarterback. Right, that's not the game that he has. In some ways, he's got a different game. Some ways it's better, some ways it's worse. We're talking about one of the best quarterbacks of our era. Right? Right, and Dave, you're right. You can't win for losing sometimes with this argument. But what I'd like to see is Freeman comfortable in the pocket, and right now he's not. Right, and some of that can be that the pocket doesn't exist, right? We had a problem with the offensive line last year. And some of it can be phantom, right? You're used to someone being up there. Now, NFLosophy, if you guys don't follow NFLosophy on Twitter, a guy used to work in the Bucs front office. He's a tremendous Twitter person, very, very bright football mind, wrote a great article on Josh Freeman about his form and why there's a problem. And sometimes with the way he places his front leg, he's a long strider when he throws, and that means that he has to have a lot more room to step up into the throw. And you don't want that knee out there flexed where it can get taken out. Rook, I think that's actually a very good parallel, McNabb. I think it's a very good parallel. It's opportunistic mobility, right? Now, I'd have no problem, and even back to when I remember the first quarterback I remember really watching for the Bucs was Doug Williams. I know that he wasn't our first quarterback, but as a child, I remembered the Doug Williams year more than anything else. And we used to run naked bootleg more than anybody in the red zone. Right? And naked bootleg is just devastating, especially when you go with a multi-level route combination on top of it. And we don't do that. We have a quarterback who is physical and is athletic and can get outside of the pocket, and we don't do it. I just don't understand why not. All right, let me check Rook's question in the mailbag. For those of you who want to get questions in the mailbag, you can send them over to questions@whatthebuck.net. We got one in here from Thomas Mitchell that we'll hit first. I will do a send-receive to make sure I get Rook's in here. Rook's, did you send it during the show, or did you send it earlier? Who will be the odd man out in the backfield? Will it be Hillis due more to the fact that he doesn't play on special teams and the others can? So that's a really good question by Tom Mitchell, who's also a hell of a photographer. Thank you for all the great photos you took at training camp. That's going to be a really interesting battle. So the special teams thing does become the differentiator for players. Leonard, I think, Brian Leonard has shown that he is tremendous. Way better than I thought when we brought him in here. I mean, in my opinion, he is, for the number two running back spot, he's here and everyone else is down here. Mike James has come on and played good football. Peyton Hillis, when he runs and catches the ball, he looks very fluid, but he cannot block to save his ass. Smith is done, guys. Smith is done. So the question becomes, do they think they can stick James on the practice squad? And I don't know that they can. So I think that's really going to be, it is not a question, it was earlier. Okay, I'll have to go check. I'll have to check the mailbag. Rook. If I had to bet right now, it's going to come down to how many receivers they keep. Right? Because you always have to have this battle. Well, how many receivers? How many tight ends? We don't even have one good tight end. Not one. Skip, I mean, an easy answer is he's more mobile than Brady. He's a far better athlete than Brady. I mean, I know you're trying to prove a point, but my point was simply that they're different quarterbacks, right? Brady has far more effectiveness. He's won more games. He's got the ring, right? I'm not trying to say that Josh is on his level. That wasn't my inclination to bring it up, right? But fuck, that's obvious, right? But I would say that right now Hillis is the guy that's on the odds outside looking in. Which is interesting. I mean, I don't understand how you can be. I didn't understand how Mike Allstock couldn't block either, right? Because I don't think it's couldn't. I think it's don't want to. Don't want to. 1983 and 2013. Oh, shit. I did see that, Rook, and I did read it. This was the year after Jack Thompson, right? Let me go back and pull that up. Let me see that. Should have kept Clark one more year. Why? To have yet another one-dimensional tight end? We've got one of those. Hell, we've got four of them. Yeah. So Rook sent out a thing. You know what I'm going to do, Rook? I'm actually going to post this on the site if you're okay. Is all of this your original writing? Send me a mail because I want to post this on the site. Rook went through and looked at 1983. When we lost Doug Williams, we went and got Jack Thompson. We ended up spending the same amount of money for Jack Thompson that we did for Doug Williams, what we would have paid for Doug Williams, right? And then we ended up with Golston, right? And the guy looked great early and then ended up falling apart. And now Rook did a great breakdown. And Rook, again, if you will drop me a note and let me know, confirm that this is all yours, I'd love to publish it as your work because it's really a nice walk through this process. It deserves more than me talking about it on air. So drop me a note and let me know about that, Rook, if that's okay, and I'll credit you with the article and put the links in. Can we use Ogletree as a good tight end? No. Do they have weight on this? They don't have weight on this roster printout. So... No, we can't use Ogletree as a tight end. How big is Ogletree? Is Ogletree 255 pounds or 260 pounds? Did I miss where that guy is a huge guy? Because he sure as fuck doesn't look big to me. You're not talking about Crabtree. You're talking about Ogletree. Let me get the data on Ogletree. He's 190, guys. He's 190. Please, for the love of God, Roman, tell me you're kidding. No, we can't even use Dwight, who's 220 and listed as a tight end, because he's softer than fucking ice cream and he can't block. Well, there was a time Jimmy Giles was a hell of a tight end. A tight end well ahead of his time. Ron Hall, when he was healthy, was a hell of a tight end. Right. The thing with this offense is you don't really need a tight end to be a split end, which is what everyone wants right now. Everyone wants the Jimmy Graham clones, right? But what we do need is we need a tight end who can block and who can catch when they get out into routes. Now, when you look at what those things are, as Rock's saying, when you look at what those things are, there's only two guys that I see on our roster right now that do this well. There's one guy that does it, and there's two guys that do it well. One of them can't stay healthy. Luke Stocker, when he's healthy, can do the job, right? He's got hands of stone right now, and I have no idea why, right? Did Nolan get a lot of playing time? Hold on. I'll answer that question. It's looking like no when I go by play counts. We got 14 plays. So Stocker can't stay healthy, and for some reason he forgot how to catch. So then you got Crabtree, who looks the part, intermittently can catch, can certainly block well enough. He's serviceable. Then you got Danny Noble, who's been around with us for, I think, 3 years, can kind of do everything moderately well. He's not real stout at the point of attack. He's not a great receiver. You got this Byam kid that everyone was all, you know, stiff about coming in, but he is so bad running routes, I don't think he will ever be open. Ever. Like, I could cover him with a tackling dummy. He can block, and Steve White was telling me at the party he can block like hell, which is great. Well, if you can block and not catch, I'm just going to put another fucking offensive lineman in, because I guarantee you his 300-pound ass will block. So what are we going to do? We've got this pile of tight ends, and Dwight's on the end, so there's five of them. Those are the five I have memorized, right? I don't know how many you keep. I mean, shit, at that level of quality, I'm probably only keeping two of them. And I'll have a couple on practice squad. I'll have you know, random Joe and random Jeff on practice squad. I'm not going to cut a guy, a wide receiver like a Hagan, or if Hillis shows something like that, 198. He's less than 200 pounds, bro. He is not a tight end. This is not college. You better be rocking 240 to 260 to play tight end in this league if you're going to play against the line of scrimmage. And we're not going to split you out as a split end the way they do with Jimmy Graham. So, no, I don't think we can use Ogletree as a tight end, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. So, Rook, if you're cool with that, send me a note, and I'm gonna publish that. I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, but I'll publish it. You guys make sure you check it out. Lorg was a tight end in college, but he is our only fullback. Wasn't he also a defensive end? That some bitch played everywhere. But as far as our fullbacks, do we actually have another fullback listed on the roster? We might. Let me see. Yeah, I know Spencer Larson. I already cut him on my sheet. Shit. Oh, Zach Miller. I did forget about Zach. Thanks, Ro. I forgot about Zach. That was the one that I left off. I covered Stocker, Crabtree, Noble, Wright, and Byam. I didn't cover Zach Miller. So, anyway, we had another question that came into the questions line. Let me get up here and grab that from my man K-Moto. Is Richard Seymour still in the street? I don't know. He may be. He's long in the tooth. He is long in the tooth, but I think I haven't heard of him signing anywhere. All right, let me take a look at what I actually wanted to talk about. I hope this was a good conversation for you. It was cathartic for me. What do we need to see in Miami? All right, this week. Here's the subtlety that I'm going to use for what we need to see in Miami. We need to see the same shit I said we need to see against New England. Right? It's the third preseason game, guys. We've got to show that we can score, and we've got to show that we can stop the other guys from scoring. It's really fucking basic. Right? My two little notes. I was obviously very angry when I wrote this. Oh, yes, I need to see a small game plan. Show me the offense work. Show me the defense work. If goddamn Tom Brady can be in for 30 snaps, then what the fuck are we doing letting Josh throw three footballs? That was my summation on offense. On defense, it was pretend you can stop someone. I watched the Saints get so many sacks against the Raiders, they almost called the game. And they're fucking terrible. Oh, yeah. Will, Mike wants 9 touchdowns. Josh is like, oh, let's go get it. Yeah. I'd like 2. 1 this week would be good. Maybe I'm just too easy. Anyway. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. I do apologize that I was in an angry mood tonight, but it is really fatigue-based. It doesn't help that the team that I love is playing like garbage right now. I really need them to do well to improve my mood, but I think that a good night's sleep will improve my mood too. I should be ecstatic, though, because to be honest, I want to wrap up on this because it's really important to do so. I cannot convey with enough emotion and sincerity what it meant to have the kickoff party that we had on the 17th. For everyone who came out there, for everyone who sweat their ass off and worked their ass off to make that happen, getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning twice, three, four times to get stuff out there, getting the inflatables out, we took over. They said, take over our place, and we took over. And it was amazing because I guarantee you I've been to countless events run by professional firms, and none of them went off as well as I think ours went off. And that is a testament to you guys who care as much or more than I do about this thing that we do that's based on passion for a common club and not based on pursuit of a check or avoidance of termination. It is humbling and awe-inspiring to know each of you. And I can't thank you enough for what was done that day and what we will continue to do throughout the tailgate season this year. And by the way, Chef Red, you're going to have your A game on. So that's the thing. And like I said, I can't convey enough gratitude for everyone who did all the things that they did. And you guys, hopefully that piece that AAA does on Channel 8 will be good. I heard it's going to air at 7 o'clock on Channel 8 before the game. We'll be back next week. We're going to get the schedule put together at some point. We're still trying I know you were kidding, Reno. Reno said DeMar Dotson could be the next tight end. But we'll be back on a schedule. We'll get that going. Spencer Larson, fullback. Yeah, I said that. I just said that I already had him cut on my sheet. But thank you, sir. I appreciate that. It's good looking out. Reminders, watch party coming on for the Jets. So make sure you pay attention to that. Any of you guys that are from out of town, make sure you let us know. Jersey Bucks fan, let me know when you're in town so I can get that T-shirt for you so you can wear it at the World Powerlifting competition. That will be great. With that said, I don't think I left anything out. Did I leave anything out, Spent? Is there something else I was supposed to remind people about? I don't remember. I don't know. I don't think I did. Anyway, thanks to everyone. You guys, you'll see the Rook article this week. I'll get that up there. And you guys will enjoy the walk down memory lane for you folks who have been old-time Bucks fans. So for myself, for Spent, for Reno, for Bucknuts, for Captain Bones, for Kirk Creel, for the whole crew, man. And like I said, I hate it because our crew's gotten so big that I don't have them memorized by name, and I really should. And I'll work on that to make sure I get that for the season. Thank you so much. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you rate it. Let us know what you think about it. And like Spent said, get out there and register your email address so you get kept abreasted, as our former coach used to say. With that being said, I am going to get out of here.
Second and goal, 17 seconds.
I'm a clown.
Work, 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 work. Hello, boys. Have a good night's rest. I miss you.
Thanks for tuning in to What the Buck, brought to you live by whatthebuck.net and the Moohead Radio Network. Make sure you register at www.whatthebuck.net and subscribe to us on YouTube at www.youtube.com/user/whatthebuck to receive news about the show and overall Bucks news in general. Until next time, keep emailing your questions to questions@whatthebuck.net, and most of all, keep supporting your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. On behalf of Old School, the Doc, and the rest of the What the Buck crew, this is Big Pie Zahn saying goodnight and see you next time. And most of all, go Bucks.